From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's August the 31st, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the WTO has given Brazil the okay to target U.S. products for retaliatory tariffs. Brazil is trying to recoup monies lost in the world cotton market. NASA is working on nanotechnology that could convert inedible plant material into usable sugars. And Russia is talking to investors about opening its Pacific ports and farmland. It could pave the way to a larger share of the world wheat market for Russian farmers. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss today's global agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat futures at $4.71, a settlement price up 4. December at 4.98 and 3 quarters, 3.5 cents higher. The March at 5.18 and a quarter, up 3.5 as well. September corn futures at $3.26 and a quarter, up 5 and a quarter. December at 3.29 and 3 quarters, up 3 quarters. March corn at 3.42 and a half, down 1 quarter. And the May contract at 351 and one quarter, down one quarter. July futures at 359 and a quarter, down three quarters of a cent. Soy complex now, September beans, $11 even, down 35 and three quarters. November soybeans at 979 and a half, down 31 and a half. January at 981 and a quarter, down 30 and a half. And the March at 979 and one quarter, down 28 cents. May futures 972 and a half, down 26 and three quarters. And July contract at 974 and a half. 26 cents lower. September bean meal at 382.50, down 4.50. And September bean oil at 34.99, a buck and 8 cents lower. August live cattle futures 82.67 and a half, down $1.97 and a half. The feeder cattle September contract at 97.25, 90 cents lower on the day. And the October lean hog futures in Chicago at the CME Group $48.15. finished 7.5 cents higher. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $69.96, a settlement price down $2.78 a barrel. Ethanol at $1.61 and a tenth of a cent lower. Natural gas at $2.97 and 4 tenths, down 5 and 9 tenths. The RBOB, that's at $1.98 and a half, down 7.5 cents, and now the diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.77 and 9 tenths, down 8 and a tenth of a cent. Propane futures 95 cents even, a half cent higher on the afternoon, and September gold at $951.70, down $5.30. The Dow Jones Industrial Average for the afternoon now stands at 9,476. It's just about 67 points lower on the day. The U.S. dollar at 78.17 is down 0.19. The CRB index at 253.68 is down 4.13. And the Goldman Sachs this afternoon at 453.79 is down 12.92 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own folks right here at the Illinois Public Media radio stations. Tonight, a low, clear and cool, low about 45. The wind from the northeast at less than 6 miles per hour. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, the high of around 75. The wind from the northeast at 4 to 8 miles an hour. Tomorrow night should be clear with a low of 48. Wednesday, sunny, a high of 78. Wednesday night, a low 51 and clear. And Thursday, for the final day of the Farm Progress Show, after two really great days, another one, sunny and a high of around 80 for Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois. We hope to see you there. Back in a moment when we'll talk with Kurt Kimmel.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. We always talk with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Hey, Kurt, I have a couple quick questions for you. I think you're with me, although it doesn't look... Yeah, there you should be right there. Hi, Kurt. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. Good.
Just always have a button in the wrong place and occasionally. So tell me about this marketplace in particular, about the soybeans. It was a pretty rough day. Is it just that we had rainfall and we've got clearer and sunny skies over the next week or so?
What a reversal of fortune here last week. Rumors of $20 beans off to the races. Now we're doom and gloom the other way. But the forecast is warmer. The 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day shows above normal temperatures and above normal precips. So the growing season is going to continue. Did not come to an end this weekend, which some of the trade thought could possibly happen. So we took some of the weather premium back out of the marketplace. But also too, concerns of coming from China. There's articles about the China buyers reneging or not coming through on some over-the-counter products, some derivative contracts, and fears that they would cancel some bean purchases. So that put the fear in the market, and we spent most of the evening, well, early hours in the evening trade and most of the day on the defensive posture, with beans down over 30 cents. But the corn and wheat market were able to come back and squeak some higher closes.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. Were you impressed by what happened with the corn and the wheat?
Yeah, the corn went down to where it needed to hold. It found some buyers down this 320 level.
Right.
Come back to close higher, so a little hook reversal back up. So technically, it's a good shape. Fundamentally, I think the trade's wanting to see the crop maturity level here this afternoon. And also, too, saw a little end-user buying. We've seen the Gulf basis stay firm in the corn, and even the Gulf basis in the beans was smoking as much as $2 higher at the Gulf, trying to suck some beans to the marketplace. Wheat found good support when it needed to at 480 in the December contract. Ideas, we'll see some wheat business come to town here this week.
Let's talk a bit more about the Gulf and the basis levels down there. Of course, it appears that they're trying to get some more beans down in the Gulf. There aren't many in the Midwest to pull out. And I guess at this point, it doesn't look like the farmers in the Gulf or in the Mississippi and Tennessee and those places to the further to the south of us are really moving in the field like they have been, and they're quite a ways behind. I've heard as much as 2 to 3 weeks behind down there, too.
Some areas, yes. You know, it's been a behind schedule process clear across the Midwest and into the deep south. Historically, we've been able to suck some of those new crop beans into the pipeline there or barge line to fulfill old crop needs. But that's been the real struggle here. We have seen that Louisiana beans have been ahead of schedule, or on schedule, that is. Louisiana is anywhere from 5 to 10% harvested already, so we are moving a few beans out of there. But that'll be probably the key thing guys will watch this afternoon as we look at the state breakdowns. As you mentioned, especially the state of Mississippi, and see how far along they are, Todd.
Well, does it mean anything really for producers here who are unlikely, let's say they don't have old crop left, does it mean anything for their new crop and their positioning on sales?
Well, any type of shortfall on near-term delivery does help, I think. It's not going to be a big market maker. Old crop or near-term is near-term demand, for say. Argentina's on an 8-day strike. You know, they're virtually sold out, too. But any type of market maker here to help prop beans up will give producers an opportunity to get caught up on sales. If you look at the carry in the bean market, there's virtually none. So the market's saying we want beans now. near term. So any type of positive news welcome going into early harvest.
Well, that's just the thing. Should producers respond to that with new crop sales?
We feel so. We feel that the market is telling us to reward that the price action here. We prefer to be a seller here and replace ownership on paper. Our fear is that once we get into this fall here, if there is no frost freeze that does develop, that we could see some downside risk. Also, too, as we move into this winter, that if the El Nino does not produce weather concerns in the southern hemisphere, that South American production is going to be in the rise this winter. Probably the main point is if you replace sales on paper, if we do have some type of event take place to drive the market sharply higher, it's going to be more so on the futures than it will be in the cash market. There's some very economical cash replacement strategies you can use in options. If you're one that wants to put a little down and look for a big return, there's opportunities to buy some options as little as 5 cents a bushel.
All right, turn your attention to the corn market then. A long ways to go for this crop yet. A crop that was early, at least in the western Corn Belt, that has slowed down dramatically and in some respects appears to be back behind the eight ball as opposed to coming in ahead of schedule. What do you see?
Well, plenty of old crop around, and everybody asks, where's the old crop at? So we'll see how that unfolds. But as we visit with producers at these meetings and even on the phone, the main concern is quality. They feel there's great potential out there if we can have a full-term growing season take place. The fears are it's going to be a wet. We will have to dry down. Propane's probably a good buy on any type of dip in through here. So the main concern is the quality issue, especially if we see an early frost or freeze. But overall, most producers are pretty happy with their corn production prospects and a little uneasy with the bean prospects.
Well, on the quality issue, what's the big problem with that? Other than I understand it goes through the system that creates a problem, but if you've got a big crop and it's a poor quality, is there a larger issue within the system and the way it's used and what it can be used for? Do we have a feed quality problem, and does that cause more wheat to be fed and potentially more and other alternative crops? What kinds of things can you see? And are there enough of those problems out there that it would actually even cause a switch?
Well, the old crop went through that situation. We saw that we experienced having to dry it down last fall. This fall is going to even be worse. As far as outlets and markets, that'd be a good question for your cash grain guys here in the next segment here, because they'll be a little bit more qualified than I am.
I bet the Andersons are listening, so we'll find out whether they know.
They've got the heads up, and I'm sure they're researching it right now.
Oh, well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Hey, you'll be out at the Farm Progress Show. Let's see. Which days are you scheduled to be with
us? I'm going to be there tomorrow, and that's a fantastic show down there. I'm going to be on a couple of panels and really look forward to it, because there are a chance to be able to visit with you folks that listen in.
Let's see. You'll be on the panels at 11:30 and 1 o'clock over at the AgriGold tent. And then you'll be on the panel with me at 2:36 in the University of Illinois tent, right?
You bet.
All right. Good deal. Thanks much. And we'll see you tomorrow, Kurt.
Very good. Thanks.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon, and he will be with us at the Farm Progress Show tomorrow. You can check out our website for all the details. But for the most part, AgriGold Tent will have panels every half hour from 9 o'clock to 11:30, again at 1 o'clock. And then back at the U of I tent, I'll be broadcasting this program, the Closing Market Report, live. You're invited to come over and see us then.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Dave Dickey's here now. He will be at the Farm Progress Show tomorrow, but he'll take us through the news. for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, a Brazilian official said today that the World Trade Organization has authorized Brazil to target U.S. products in retaliation for the United States' failure to eliminate illegal subsidies to American cotton growers. The official said the value of the sanctions was still being calculated. Brazil has sought $2.5 billion in sanctions, while Washington said the award should not exceed $30 million. It is the fifth major decision since the Brazilian government brought the case to the WTO in 2002, arguing that the U.S. was able to retain its place as the world's second-largest cotton producer by paying out some $3 billion to American cotton farmers each year. Meanwhile, Mexico has initiated World Trade Organization dispute proceedings against the U.S. to challenge the United States' compliance with an earlier WTO ruling against the U.S. use of its zeroing methodology in anti-dumping proceedings targeting imports of Mexican steel. Mexico has requested consultations with the U.S. to discuss its claim. Scientists at NASA's Ames Research Center in California are working to develop a process that could be used to convert waste biomass material into food and fuel using what is called bio-nanotechnology. The research team is assembling enzyme structures that break down inedible plant material into usable sugars. While the NASA research is geared to achieving a highly specialized result, it will add considerable expertise to the search to produce ethanol from cellulosic on a commercially viable basis. Russia is in talks with Japanese companies to secure investment in Siberian farmland and Pacific ports that would allow the world's number three wheat exporter to carve out a greater share of the Asian markets. Wheat and barley would be the main crops delivered from Siberia, while soybeans and corn could be grown in the Russian Far East. India's monsoon rains may improve next month, but they are still set to be the worst in four decades. Water levels in India's main reservoirs rose to 42% of capacity on August 27th. India's soybean output may drop as much as 19% in the new season, reducing soy meal export deals to a trickle. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Hey, if you get the opportunity, please visit Decatur, Illinois this week in the Farm Progress Show. Dave and I will be there tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. Dave will be at the AgriGold tent most of the day with half-hour marketing programs at 9, 9:30, 10, 10:30, 11, and 11:30, where you can meet many of our analysts. He'll come back at 1 o'clock there. And then he'll come over to the University of Illinois tent, where I'll be a good portion of the day, and I'll be hosting this program live from the Farm Progress Show at 1:50 with the settlement prices, and then at 2:06 with the closing market report. And immediately following that, we'll have a panel of analysts right there in the U of I tent. It's all at the Farm Progress Show this week, every half hour at the AgriCold tent, starting at 9 o'clock and running to noon, and then again at 1 o'clock. Or you can come visit us in the University of Illinois tent at 1:50 for the closing market report. Please come by and visit Dave Dickey and Dan Zwicker and Bill Mayer and Jackie Vakes and Jerry Golke and Matt Bennett and Kurt Kimmel and Pete Manhart and Jerry Goodell and Chuck Shelby, well, and Paul Cooley. Who else? Brian Stark, of course, will be there. Brian Maple and Mike Zuzulo, and yes, even the folks from the Andersons. Speaking of which, they'll be here in a moment to take up the cash grain market.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Usually we talk with the folks at the Andersons, but they're all out of the office today at a meeting, and I didn't realize that. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, has ever so kindly agreed to join us. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, thanks for filling in, and we're looking forward to seeing you at Farm Progress Show this week.
Yeah, it's a delight, and we're looking forward to it. And, of course, it's always exciting to go to the Farm Progress Show because there's always a lot of new things going on, and we'll be talking about the markets, both the futures and cash market, in a lot of detail.
Yeah, Paul, hang on just a second. I've got a sneaky suspicion that possibly the folks from the Andersons might be joining us. Oh, I don't know. We'll get us a high sign from Jason, who's our technical director here, in just a bit to see whether that's the case. But let's talk about the marketplace. It was kind of a rough day for the soybeans. What in your terms happened?
Well, when we first talked about it, you know, everybody, I think, was focusing on the wrong ball game. They were looking at, talking about and worried about cold weather over the weekend. And, of course, last week before we went home, the private meteorologist says, don't worry. And we did have a good inch of rain in a lot of parts of East Central Illinois. I think the big thing was the stock market in China went down 7%. They also were talking about having problems financially in some of the derivatives in their silver and also commodity and crude oil contracts. And we also got a feeling there were new elections in the stock market, I mean the new elections in China. I mean, Japan, and, of course, rainfall in India and China were also being talked about. So good growing conditions in the Midwest, and it did have an effect on the corn and soybean prices. Corn did come back. I think the big factor here more than anything else, Todd, is we are expecting a better USDA crop production report, and that's hard to take off the calendar.
Yeah, that is hard to drive off the calendar, and it'll be coming up in September. How much better do you think it'll be than 159.5 they already have?
Well, the Informa group today carefully talked about a 164 bushel corn crop equating to $2.80 corn. I think it's going to be in steps and gradual, and I do also feel very strongly that the south half of Illinois does need a good, strong inch of rain in here to help put added bushels onto that crop, because half the crop is in the south half of the state. The other half is in the north half. It's equal opportunity in the state of Illinois as far as beans are concerned.
Right, so that would be on the bean crop. Of course, the corn crop is heavily weighted to the upper two-thirds of the state.
I think the other thing that I think is extremely interesting, some of the private companies are talking about grain storage, and the real problem with grain storage is going to be west of the Mississippi, particularly the Dakotas, Nebraska, and the state of Kansas. One of the nice things about it is they don't have as much rainfall, and probably a lot of that corn can go on the ground.
Thanks much, and we appreciate you taking the extra time with us today, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He will join us over at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. That's just off Route 48 at the interstate there, so that'd be 72 and Route 48. It's right there off of the exit. You'll see the signs as you head into Decatur for the Farm Progress Show on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Back in 2 minutes with the weather.
It's National Trail Mix Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1742, a plague of grasshoppers destroyed crops in Pennsylvania. In 1836, African-American inventor Henry Blair was issued a patent for a cottonseed planter. By the way, his patents were signed with a simple X because he had not learned to read or write. In 1900, Sir John Bennett Laws died, an English agronomist. He founded the artificial fertilizer industry. together with Sir Joseph Gilbert. They conducted agricultural experiments at Rothamsted Experimental Station, the oldest agricultural research station in the world. They are considered the founding fathers of agricultural sciences. In 1900, Coca-Cola went on sale for the first time in Britain. In 1921, the first successful demonstration of an aerial crop dusting was performed in Ohio by Lieutenant John A. McCready. He was flying a Curtiss JN6H, most fondly known as the Flying Jenny. In 1960, the National Agricultural Center and Hall of Fame was established. And in 1995, the summer was so hot in Missouri that at the end of August, methane gas emitted within large bales of freshly cut hay began to spontaneously combust. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It looks just like a magnificent week here in the Midwest, especially for the Farm Progress Show indicator. It's right there at Route 48 and I-72.
Yeah, just a gorgeous week, if you like. Cool temperatures and sunny skies here. Well, cool temperatures for today, but then that'll be changing as temperatures warm up over the next several days. Highs can be expected to reach the 70s here on a daily basis throughout much of the week, even touching 80 here by the end of the week here, which seems warm compared to what we've just gone through over the past few days here. But no rain, with really the next chance of rain not until about a week from now.
Yeah, what are dew points likely to be like?
Well, dew points here currently are in the mid-40s across much of central Illinois, even lower readings as you go up into northern Illinois. Even a few 30s are reported up in northern Illinois at this time. So more of the same here coming up over the next few days, dews primarily in the 40s and then low 50s.
Wow, that just means that we'll have magnificent days, and it'll feel wonderful out at the Farm Progress Show for everybody that's coming out there, and hopefully they'll visit us at the AgriGold tent or in the University of Illinois tent. For the crops, though, can you tell me what happened over the weekend and then what the weather might be like across the Midwest?
Yeah, well, from a temperature standpoint, we did see unseasonably cool temperatures across the belt, obviously. The coldest temperatures were some readings in the upper 30s across northern sections of the belt, primarily in some pockets of acreage across northern Iowa, parts of the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, even into northern Illinois, but nothing colder than upper 30s were reported. So we didn't have any kind of issues here with temperatures over the weekend here, and we don't see any issues from a freezing standpoint here coming up really over the next 2 weeks. So through the first half of September, the Midwest will remain free from any kind of freezing temperatures.
And then if you look further out, what do you see?
Well, that's a tough question here, Todd. We're pretty comfortable stating the next 2 weeks here, but beyond that, tough to say. You know, it does look like temperatures will be trending cooler, back to more seasonal, if not even slightly cooler than normal temperature in Western Canada. That'll need to be watched here beyond the 2 weeks, but that's quite a ways off right now.
All right, then turn your attention to China. I've heard about some weather conditions that haven't been as good maybe for their northern growing areas as they would have liked. Is that right?
Yeah, well, they had very good conditions up through the latter portion of July, and then over the past 4 weeks, they've trended much drier across especially Jilin and Liaoning provinces there. So that certainly reduced yield potential for soybeans. It could have been worse, though, but you're talking reduction of levels from ideal or even record levels, yield potential. So, yes, some reduction of yield, not a major problem, though.
Thanks much.
You're welcome, Don.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon. If you have the opportunity, please stop by the AgriGold tent or the University of Illinois tent. Dave Dickey and I will be at the Farm Progress Show there on the grounds on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.